Yeah. pravý vajšnávy, kýže je skam prána vajčáda šíla pravupáda kýže na vajčáda šíla haridá státo kýže prém se dhoši krišna čeitana prvním prém vajšu 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 श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री गोविंदा की जय श्री श्री गोविंदा की जय श्री श्री गिरिराज की जय श्री भक्तवृंद की जय श्री गोविंदा की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु श्री श्री गोविंदा Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Activities of the Prachetas, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 28. Ittavadvam hi vibhubhir.
Ittavadvam hi vibhubhir.
Ittavadvam hi vibhubhir.
Ittavadvam hi
Bhavyam dineshu vatsalahai.
Bhavyam dineshu vatsalahai.
Bhavyam dineshu vatsalahai.
Bhavyam dineshu vatsalahai.
Yad anusmaya
yekale. Yad anusmaya yekale.
Yad anusmaya tekale.
Yad anusmaya tekale.
Svabhujya badra randana.
Svabhujya badra randana.
Svabhujya Bhadra Randana
Svabhujya Bhadra Randana
Ittavadhyam hi vibhubhir
Ittavadhyam hi vibhubhir
Bhavyam dineshu vatsalahai
Bhavyam dineshu vatsalahai
Yadanusmariyate kale
Yadanusmariyate kale
Svabhujya Bhadra Randana
Svabhujya Bhadra Randana
Ittavadhyam hi vibhubhir
of time.
Svabhujya.
By one's devotional service.
By one's devotional service.
Hastararantana.
Hastararantana.
O killer of all inauspiciousness.
O killer of all inauspiciousness.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your devotees through the expansion of your archa vigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. Responsibly, dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
You are the killer of all inauspicious things.
You are the killer of all inauspicious things.
You are compassionate upon your poor devotees.
You are compassionate upon your poor devotees.
Through the expansion of your archa vigraha.
Through the expansion of your archa vigraha.
You should certainly think of us.
You should certainly think of us.
As your eternal servants.
As your eternal servants.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The form of the Lord, known as Archa Vigraha, is an expansion of His unlimited potency. When the Lord is gradually satisfied with the service of a devotee, in due course of time, He accepts the devotee as one of His many unalloyed servants. By nature, the Lord is very compassionate. Therefore, the service of deified devotees is accepted by the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:26. Patram pushpam kalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatapanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. The devotee offers eatables in the form of vegetables, fruits, leaves, and water to the archa vigraha. The Lord, being bhaktavatsala, compassionate upon His devotees, accepts these offerings. Atheists may think that the devotees are engaged in idol worship, but the fact is different. Janardana, the Supreme Lord, accepts bhava, the attitude of service. The neophyte devotee engaged in the worship of the Lord may not understand the value of such worship, but the Supreme Lord, being Bhakta Vatsala, accepts His devotee and in due course of time takes him home. In this connection, there is a story about a Brahmin who was offering sweet rice to the Lord within his mind. The Brahmin had no money or any means of worshipping the deity, but within his mind, he arranged everything nicely. He had gold pots to bring water from the sacred rivers to wash the deity, and he offered the deity very sumptuous food, including sweet rice. Once before he offered the sweet rice, he thought that it was too hot, and he thought, "Oh, let me test it. My, it is very hot." When he put his finger in the sweet rice to test it, his finger was burned and his meditation broken. Although he was offering food to the Lord within his mind, the Lord accepted it nonetheless. Consequently, the Lord in Vaikuntha immediately sent a chariot to bring the Brahmin back home, back to Godhead. This is the duty of every sincere devotee, to accept the archa vigraha at home or in the temple, and worship the form of the Lord as advised in authorized scriptures and directed by the spiritual master. Here, Prabhupada is recommending deity worship for his devotees. There was one recording of Prabhupada talking to a pujari in Los Angeles named Manjuwali. Some of you probably have seen this. She's speaking over the video. She said that Prabhupada was very enlivened as to how she was dressing the deity that particular day. She also said that he took some money, I think it was $20, out of his own purse or wallet, and gave it to her for the purpose of dressing the deities. He was so impressed with the way the deities were dressed. Sometimes I've seen on some videos Prabhupada taking darshan of deities, and instead of seeing statues made of marble or whatever, he seems to be seeing Krishna himself. Prabhupada recommended deity worship for everyone. I think it's in a purport in one of these texts in this chapter. He says that he recommends deity worship for all neophyte devotees. Of course, in one sense, we're all neophyte devotees, including myself. He said that this was very important. I remember once there was an exhibition in one of the Smithsonian Institution museums on the Washington, D.C. Mall. It was called Puja. The person who put this exhibition on, it was a traveling exhibition, and it only lasted a few weeks, was not a devotee. It's a British woman, I believe. The Akshavigrahas were represented in homes, in temples, and in outdoor shrines. Different deities, sometimes Krishna, sometimes Hanuman. Different ones. In the written paper that went along with this exhibition, she wrote that worshipping deities fulfills a certain psychological need. That was her take on it. A psychological need. Everyone has to love someone. And in the beginning of Krishna book, Prabhupada says that, maybe it's in the introduction, that our love is always going out. Our love, however, is usually misplaced. When the natural loving ability of a human being is directed towards God or Krishna, then it meets its ultimate destination, its ultimate fulfillment. Therefore, deity worship is recommended. There are deities in different parts of the world, in different Hindu temples. Usually they're not so gorgeously dressed as the deities that we see here. Very often they're dressed in very shabby, sort of what we would call tinsel-y dress, with lots of aluminium foil and gold leaf foil. There's a temple I visited in London once. I think that the Swami, not Narayan Maharaj, but Swami Narayan Maharaj, it's a different sect. They have a temple in a place called Neesden. Neesden is sort of regarded as kind of a slum in London. When this temple was first opened, there was an article that appeared in one of the newspapers in England, I think it was the Times. It referred to this temple as the Taj Mahal of Neesden. It was kind of a tongue-in-cheek slam. At any rate, they have brought a Krishna deities in that temple, and they're changed about once every week, I believe. And their clothing is very sort of tinsel-y. It's not what Prabhupada used to call gorgeous. That was the word he used. He really liked that word. So he was very impressed with the way devotees worship deities, not only in temples, but he recommends them to do it in their homes. There was one time when Prabhupada recommended that deities should be made out of cloth, Gaurini Thai deities. He said they should be made out of cloth. This is something that I confirmed once in the database. He said that deities should be made out of cloth, put in a box, and sold, along with a pamphlet. The pamphlet would be included in the package, and it would say that if you worship these dolls, they will give you anything you want. So this is his, and I saw in a newspaper, I couldn't at that time read the advertising aspect of the French language, but it was in a French newspaper, and there was a large picture. It was a full-page picture. It was a picture of a deity of Lakshmi, and someone who I was sitting with, this is on a subway train in Paris, someone I was sitting with could read the language, and said that basically that they were selling this I guess it was about a 60 centimeter high image or deity, we could call it, of Lakshmi. Basically, it was saying that if you worship this doll or amulet or whatever, statue, she will give you anything you want. So somehow Prabhupada wanted this done. I don't think it ever was done. This is an indication of how merciful Lord Chaitanya is. Prabhupada, in some lectures, said that when Krishna was present on this planet, he asked everyone to surrender to him, whereas Lord Chaitanya showed how to surrender. Lord Chaitanya took the form of a devotee and exhibited the act of surrendering, as we pray every day in the temple. Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Dharpana, Marjana. Lord Chaitanya is extra merciful. So Prabhupada writes about this sometimes in purports, that the mercy is more important than our endeavor. Our endeavor is important. We follow regular principles, we do certain things, but unless Krishna wants, unless Krishna desires, unless Krishna extends his mercy upon the living entities, no matter how much we endeavor, it's not going to be successful. However, Krishna likes our endeavors, and he tends to be more favorable to people who endeavor to reach him. It's been written that Vasudeva and Devaki, as well as Yashoda and Nanda, underwent very great, severe austerities. Sometimes people in the material world undergo great austerities. The example was given, I think, of Hiranyakashipu standing on one leg and getting the whole universe to tremble. Sometimes people in the material world arise at 6 o'clock in the morning or earlier and start writing notes to themselves. They go to school. They study for long hours in order to attain a great position in the material world. Ravana was also underwent great austerities to attain his position as a great devotee of Lord Shiva. But everything came to an end when he became very proud. So Lord Shiva is a little bit too easily pleased. When Hiranyakashipu was granted boons by Lord Brahma, he said that he wanted to be immortal, and then Lord Brahma said, well, that's impossible, I can't give you immortality. I myself am not immortal. So when he granted all these other boons to him, he asked Lord Brahma that I shouldn't be killed inside or outside. I shouldn't be killed by a man or beast. I can't be killed by any weapon made by a human being. I can't be killed in daylight or nighttime, and so on and so forth. And he gave many conditions. But when the Lord came as Lord Vishnudev, who fulfilled all these conditions, Hiranyakashipu was not killed indoors or out of doors, was killed on the lap of the Lord. He wasn't killed by any man-made weapons, he was killed by the nails of the Lord. And he wasn't killed on land, sea, or air. That was one of the benedictions the Lord Brahma gave him, that he couldn't be killed on land, sea, or air. So he was killed on the lap of the Lord. So, and in this way, in one single action, the Lord fulfilled all of the requirements, all of the boons of the Lord Brahma, because he kept all those boons intact. And Prabhupada has commented that when, after Lord Nrisimhadeva dispatched to Hiranyakashipu, he was a little bit critical of Lord Brahma. In fact, he chastised him and said, don't give these boons out so easily. This was a very difficult thing. It seems very easy to us that the Lord came out of a pillar and killed Hiranyakashipu, but it actually was a very difficult thing, according to Prabhupada anyway, that Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nrisimhadeva, chastised Lord Brahma for making it so difficult to have Hiranyakashipu killed. In any case, that happens. So Krishna mentions, or Prabhupada mentions here, that Janardana is the Supreme Lord, accepts Baba, the attitude of service. So one of the definitions of Krishna is Baba Grahe Janardana. That means that Janardana, or Krishna, accepts the devotional service of a devotee. He doesn't look at the downside, the faults of a person. He looks at the glories, whoever it may be. It's also said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavarai Shravanai Chita Chita Kaviyadai, which means that Krishna consciousness is there in every living entity, in every human being, in every animal. Krishna consciousness just has to be awakened. The awakening process, of course, is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. That's why devotees like preaching so well, even if it's a baby step as opposed to a giant step. For example, we have many restaurants. I think there are more restaurants per capita in this country than any place in the world. Prabhupada actually wanted this. He wanted lots of restaurants because he knew the power of prasadam, how anything offered to Krishna and eaten by a living entity would have great effect, and that living entity could even be a non-human living entity. There's examples in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other places of even animals getting great benefit by having prasadam. So prasadam, although it's a baby step, is a very important thing. And this is an example of bhava, of seeing the Krishna consciousness in every person. Sometimes when I've talked to people or given class, I've said that the person who delivers the post might be your child's guru. We don't know. So preaching can be a thankless task. We might approach hundreds or thousands of people and who shake their heads and say, no, I'm not interested. At the same time, the devotee continues to try to distribute books, to distribute prasadam, to be friendly, to have harinams, to engage in Vedic hospitality. Devotees invite people into their homes, even though only maybe 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000 may become a devotee. But this is very enlivening. There's an example I think Prabhupada gave once about an army that preaching Krishna consciousness is kind of like waging war upon Maya. And in a war, some soldiers are wounded, some soldiers die, but the battle continues. The battle of Maya continues. It seems that everywhere where Krishna consciousness is advancing, there's a lot of resistance. There's some resistance now, I think, from some of the neighbors in Brisbane, that the temple is to be built up there. There's always resistance. So Maya is very powerful. That's why it's very important that we come to the temple every day and we read every day. There are simple activities buried very deeply within our hearts, known as prarabdha, sins that aren't totally fructified, but they're there. And Maya is very strong. So it's very important that we continue to associate with devotees and read and do things that make us Krishna conscious. That's always very helpful. So I'll read the verse again, and if anyone has any questions or comments, them to ask. Etavatvam hi vibhupir bhayam dineshu vatsalai yad anusmaryate kale svabhudyakut bhadra randana. Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your archavigraha. You should certainly think of us as your eternal servants. I wanted to mention here that Prabhupada uses the word poor, not necessarily to mean that one is materially impoverished, but poor in the sense of not being very Krishna conscious. That is real poverty. And it's said somewhere that poverty is the wealth of the Brahmins. So being materially impoverished is actually a very good thing for Krishna consciousness. I think it's said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyaham Anugranami Harishe Tadanam Shanai, that Krishna's first installment of mercy is the taking away of everything material. Hari means he who takes away. So anyway, that's something I thought I would add. So it's the time for any comments or thoughts or questions or criticisms. Anything? Yes, Vilas.
I just think it's interesting because it always said that the first sign of Krishna's mercy is that he takes everything away. But sometimes it feels like when he hasn't even taken anything away, there's a sign of his mercy also. You know, like we have so much, we're not, you know, alone and we're not...
Yeah, well, I'm just going to repeat your question. Hopefully this is being broadcast elsewhere. So Velasco is saying that it's also Krishna's mercy to have opulence, not just that Krishna takes things away, but if we have, is that correct? If we have things, that's also mercy. And I suppose that's true because it's said that one should not be overly attached to material things, whether they're abundant or whether they're absent. That's all Krishna's mercy. So if a person has many things, is very opulent, has a lot of wealth or fame or something like that, that's also can be considered merciful benediction from Krishna. That I have all this, but I must be detached from it. So that's a kind of mercy. I think having grown up in other parts of the world and coming to Australia, I find that living in a very warm climate and in a very kind of relatively opulent, wealthy country and stable environment is very good for Krishna consciousness. It's actually a benediction. And then there's the concept of karma too. Sometimes people have long lives and they're very successful in their life. That can be also considered good karma, a benediction, something that's given to us by Krishna. But somehow or other, if something is taken away from us, we should also see that that's a blessing in disguise. And Queen Kunti was always praying for more misery and more tribulations to be heaped upon her so she could remember Krishna, even though she was born in a very aristocratic situation. Yes?
Did you say that mercy is more important than our endeavor?
Yes, I did say that. I said that mercy was more important than our endeavor.
Was or?
Yes. Is. I don't know what I said, but I think it is. There's a debate going on in the Christian religion, which is more important, mercy or endeavor. And I think that their conclusion basically is that mercy is actually more important. That God can do anything God wants to do, regardless of whatever we do, although he's more inclined to give us benedictions if we're austere, if we engage in austerity. But that's not a guarantee, from what I understand. Anything else before prasadam? I hear the stomach's growling already. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.